Welcome to the Human Flourishing Project. I'm Alex Epstein. Today, I want to talk about vision and persistence. And I'm talking about these things two together because I think these are the two factors in productive success that are most within our direct control. So let me give you a little bit of background. I am discussing this when I am 4 days before my manuscript deadline. So I'm delivering my new book on energy to the publisher on Thursday. I've been working on it for over 2 years, and it's really cool that it's coming together. It definitely had a lot of challenges to it, a lot of really enjoyable parts, a lot of, sometimes difficult parts. So in large part, I'm thinking about this issue of vision and persistence in connection with that book, and also in connection with a really good speech that I heard recently that I want to recommend to you. So this is a speech by a guy named Richard Hamming, who's unfortunately now no longer alive, but he gave a series of lectures, I think at the Naval Postgraduate School. But in any case, he's a sort of legendary computer scientist / mathematician and very highly regarded in his field. And he gave a series of, gave a whole course on basically how to do science and engineering. But I think a lot of it ends up being much broader in terms of just how to do great, productive, or creative work. And I mentioned on a previous episode, I'm really a big fan of master practitioner teachers. So people who are really good at something and teach it. So I think he qualifies as one. And so I'm enjoying this course. Now he has a lecture at the end of this course that's called You and Your Research. I think that's what it's called. If you look at that up on YouTube, Richard Hamming, H-A-M-M-I-N-G, I'm sure you'll find it. And that is a somewhat of a legendary speech in certain communities. And that is really good. But there's also a speech I like just as much, which is the first speech of the course. And if you look up just Hamming intro to the art of doing science and engineering, and I think it also says learning to learn, you'll find this. Now, this first lecture has all sorts of insights in it, but there's one allegory, so this kind of meaningful hypothetical story that he tells that really stuck with me. And you may think this is kind of stupid, but I think it's just because of the subject matter, you'll see, involves a drunken sailor. But I think there's really something there that really put into perspective this idea of vision. And then also it ends up being closely connected to the issue of persistence. So he talked, and it's a little bit of a mathematical type thing, but I think I can explain it in a way that makes sense. So he talks about the story of the drunken sailor, and I'm paraphrasing, but the idea is, and he'll Hamming in the video will actually do it. He just sort of, he staggers a couple steps this way, a couple steps that way. And so if you think of where does the drunken sailor end up relative to the number of steps he takes, Hamming makes the point that mathematically it's something proportional to the square root of n. So if he takes 100 steps, on average, he might end up 10 steps away from where he started because he's going in all these different directions. Now, if he takes 10,000 steps, he only ends up 100 steps away. And you can, go to it from there. I mean, squares and square roots are just so, so powerful. So if you think about, what's 10,000 times 10,000? I think it's 100 million. I may be embarrassing myself, but it's like, yeah, if you go 100 million steps, you end up only 10,000 steps. Apologies if I got that math wrong. But it's like, the idea is he doesn't get very far. But then, so you get that. But then he says, now, if the drunken sailor sees a pretty girl ahead of him, he's going to get a distance proportional to n. So what that means is he's got the pretty girl there. And so he's going to stagger toward her. So he's not going to get there if she's 100 steps away. He's not going to get there in 100 steps because he's a drunken sailor, but he might get there in 200, he might get there in 300. He's certainly going to make a hell of a lot more progress than if he was just going in no directions with no vision. And so the idea is the vision of the pretty girl even makes the drunken sailor head toward the target. And what he says to the students, and again, this is a technical audience, but he says, if I can create in you a vision of where you are headed, you will make progress proportional to n. And I really liked that, particularly thinking about something like a book, because with these projects, you know, we always want to do them, or I'll speak for myself, like there's an inclination, well, I want to do it as efficiently as possible. But at the same time, if I'm doing new stuff, there's all sorts of things I'm going to do inefficiently if I look at it from retroactive perspective. I'll think, oh, like, why didn't I edit it this way? Or why didn't I bring in this person? Or I should have done this earlier. I wasted all this time doing that. So the how of doing things does resemble in some ways, particularly when it's new, the drunken sailor, in that you're staggering different kinds of ways. It's not a direct path, as direct as we would wish. But if we've got a specific vision or goal, that those steps end up being somewhere. And his point for career, but this applies to a lot of things, is if you have this phenomenon of you're a drunken sailor in that you don't know exactly how to get anywhere, or anywhere worth getting. But if you don't have any focus at all, then you're just going to be staggering in all these directions and it's not going to end up anywhere. And I thought that is really, it's really powerful. And what it highlights to me is, one thing it highlights to me is the power of the vision, with an emphasis on the vision is relatively in your control. Now, there's the whole issue of how do you come up with the vision that you want? And Hamming's view is he doesn't think it matters that much. I mean, I might differ with him in terms of, yeah, I'd like to have a vision that I would really like. So I think there is a whole thing to say. There's a whole discussion we could have about vision in terms of how do you choose like a path for you that's most likely to be satisfying when you have incomplete information about what you'll find satisfying. And my basic thing is, well, so, and people have different ideas, but it should at least be, okay, this, like, I'm looking in a way that is going to substantially engage, it's going to substantially involve mental activities that I really like. I'd have that at least as a baseline. And then there are different kinds of ideas different people have about how much the content of the activity matters. Cal Newport would be on the side of saying it doesn't matter much. Other people would say, like a Sam Ovens, I think, would say it matters a lot more. And that is a whole discussion to have. But let's just stipulate, okay, you figure out a way to have a vision. That is a really powerful thing. And it is in your control, and that you can say, like, even if you don't know how to, you know, I'm going to be somewhat of a drunken sailor getting there. You can say, okay, this is my vision. And as I've discussed on previous shows, I'm going to focus on it. Now, so there's that power in of having control of the result in terms of setting the vision. But another aspect of it is the clearer the vision, the better. So you can imagine with a drunken sailor, the more clearly he can see the pretty girl, then the more, you know, the faster progress he'll make, probably the more directly he'll get there. And I think this is true with projects. So if I'm thinking about my book, one thing at any given time that's been helpful is just thinking more clearly about, okay, what exactly do I want? Who exactly is my audience? What am I trying to accomplish? What am I not trying to accomplish? Just that thinking, it really is under my control. I get to decide what it is. And what it does is it automatically makes the how easier, because it's eliminating any element of the how that is lack of clarity about the what. And that is often a lot of what happens with the how. It's just there's a lack of clarity about the what. Now, even if the what is totally clear, so the goal or the vision is totally clear, it doesn't guarantee that it's actually going to, that, I mean, there's going to be all these unknowns about the how for sure, but you want to minimize the number of unknowns about the how. And often it's very impressive how much clarity about the vision helps. Now, there's also an interesting interplay between the vision and the how, like you learn more about what you want as you do it. But that's another argument for like thinking about as a high leverage thing, making sure I'm as clear on the vision as I can be, because it's relatively not time consuming and it saves a lot of time. It's a very high efficiency thing. So again, the what is more under our control in many ways than the how. So it's worth investing relatively small amounts of time in getting clear on the what. Now, the other thing, so there's, you could think of everything as the what and the how, but I think there's another variable that is important to just note is in our control, which is the that. So I think of the what as, okay, what I'm going after, how is how I'm going after it, but that is that I will persist in going after it. So you could think of it as part of the vision. Part of the vision is, okay, I'm going to see this through. I'm getting, this book is of value. I'm getting it done. I know there will be different kinds of challenges and all sorts of different things. There'll be other things I need to do. There'll be times when it's hard to figure out, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm resolved that I am going to do it. And it's no accident that if you ask people, what is the commonality among every successful person in a given field? I think in most fields, they'll just say persistence as a thing. Sometimes they'll say focus, but that's in some ways, it's persisting on the same thing. But the persistence, I think, captures a different element, which is that it's just this commitment that I am going to do it. I'm going to keep putting in the work to do it. And that is another thing that is very much within our control. There's all this ambiguity about how do I get there? But if I decide where there is, and then I decide that I'm going to get there, there's so much power. I think if you look at people who have successful careers, and it's probably true of other areas of life as well, there's always these things going on where there's a vision that they have, and then there's this commitment that they're going to do it. And if you ask them about the how, they'll say, oh my gosh, I didn't know anything. I cannot imagine. Like, I don't know even now. Ayn Rand had this statement. I think others have made it similar things, but you know, I don't know how I ever survived yesterday without knowing what I know today. I think that's a really cool sentiment to have. I have that a lot with just, oh my gosh, I like can't believe it. I wish I had done it this way, but I know so much more now. But that's inherent in it. That's inherent. That's why I like this drunken sailor analogy, because there's just this area, the how has huge uncertainty in terms of the optimality of it. So that, and it's going to be discovered, and you're never going to have an optimal how unless you're just doing stuff that's boring to you. But what you can control is the vision, so that you can control the what, which is the vision, and the that, which is the persistence. And if I think about, okay, what have I done well in my life? It's usually things where I had a definite vision and I had persistence, and I look back on them and I take pride in those. I don't usually say, oh yeah, I knew exactly how to do this. But I do say, yeah, I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew that I was going to persist. And I think of most broadly, I have this with clear thinking in whatever field I'm in. I have a vision of this is what it means to be clear on, say, energy issues. And then I carry that with me all the time, and I want more of it. I have an idea of, oh, well, this is what it would mean to be really clear or explain it. There's a corollary version or a corresponding version in explanation, where it's like, okay, this is what a clear explanation would look like and feel like. And I have a good vision of that. And it's a weird thing, because it's not exactly even that I know it'll look like, but I know how it'll feel because I've felt different degrees of clarity. So I'll have that with the, and if you look up my interview with Don Watkins, if you look up Don Watkins, Alex Epstein on YouTube, this should come up on his show. I talked about this issue at length when he was asking me questions about explanation and persuasion. I think a lot of it is having this kind of, it's not exactly a vision, but a feel, like it's an implicit, I don't even have the right term for it. So the best thing I can say is like, somebody's come up with a better term than feel or vision sometimes, but it's like, at least in some way, you know, this is what I want. This is what it would be like to be there. And that is just such a powerful optimization thing. And I've just found that for thinking and for explanation, I've had that for a long time. And no matter what else I've been doing, I make progress every year because I have those. Now, I make the most progress when I have a specific creative vision beyond that. Like working on a book for the last 2 years, I made way more progress than I made the 2 years or even the 4 years before that, when I was working on a much more motley assortment of projects. So I hope that helps in terms of just thinking about when you're, you know, what you want to do in the future. If the more you exercise control over the vision and the persistence, the more success you can have. And I do, I'm a big fan of looking for better hows all the time, but I think it should always be done in the context of vision and persistence. So not just thinking about, oh, okay, I don't really know. I'm not really committed to this. I'm not exactly sure what I want, but I'm going to kind of look for better ways. Like I'm going to look for, oh, here's a better social media thing. I think that often happens. There's a tendency to do that. And there is a certain appeal to, oh, if I find a really good how, I think there's sometimes this idea, then maybe I don't have to think too clearly about the what, or maybe even more, oh, I don't have to be that persistent. I don't have to work that hard because I'll just have an easy how. And the thing is there, the overall how of the kinds of things you're going to want is not easy. So that the how is not easy, but then and you don't want it to be easy, but the flip side is if it's too hard, then it's just not going to be fulfilling to do. And so if you have the what and the that, it makes the how that much easier. And then you can really, your uncertainty is really going to be around the things that need to be uncertain, but they're going to be, that uncertainty is going to be coupled with a lot of confidence in, okay, I know what I want. I know that I'm going to get there one way or the other. And then the ups and downs of the how will be much more manageable. So hope that helps. Wish me luck in finishing this manuscript. It's going well. So I'm not the first time I submitted a manuscript on a book when I had this much time left, I thought the thing was a mess. So I'm feeling much better this time around, much more relaxed productivity as I'm a big advocate of. So looking forward to doing that. Next time I speak to you, I will have finished a book manuscript. I'm sure I'll still have plenty of editing to do, going back and forth with the editor, but still, it's definitely the end of of a big stage, and definitely I'm almost certain the hardest stage of this project. So it's satisfying to be there and to look back and to see the role of vision and persistence in that, and then to see how I can, with even more clarity about those, can make the hows of the future that much more enjoyable. All right. As always, if you have any questions, comments, love mail or hate mail, you can email me at alex@alexepstein.com. Sign up for updates on the show at humanflourishingproject.com. And you can join the discussion about the show at facebook.com/humanflourishingproject. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Oh, also for those of you, if you listened to the last episode on Thoughtful with me and Brian, or it was on social media, we also talked about Thoughtful. And if you forgot, sign up at thoughtful.community/HFP. A lot of you did sign up, so we've got a good list. But if you want to be relatively near the top of the list, go to thoughtful.community/HFP. All right. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Until then, I'm Alex Epstein. This has been the Human Flourishing Project.